Welcome to Creating Sci-Fi and Fantasy, an Inside Look, a podcast dedicated to understanding the inspiration and creation of sci-fi, fantasy, and comic books. I interview the people who create the fantastic worlds you love. Thank you and enjoy.
I'm here at MAGFest with game designers Nate Flynn and Jeff Fisher. Thank you for speaking with me.
Oh, no problem, man. I'm glad to.
Hey, yep. How's it going?
I'd like to start by asking, is there a game of yours here you're most proud of and why?
I definitely say we're most proud of our current project, Parallelly. We're really getting to dive deep on this one, really getting to, you know, do a lot of neat stuff both programming and art-wise. So, yeah, Parallelly is definitely our darling right now.
Yep, stuff like that project. We're here showing it. We're here trying to get the name out, so.
How many other projects have you guys worked on?
Formal projects? Oh, it's... I have no idea. You did a catalog a little while ago
of
what we've worked on.
Yeah, we've worked on probably over 30 games for both clients and our own personal projects. Some are large, some are small. Parallelly's definitely one of our better ones.
Okay. How do you know when a game is finished?
Oh boy, yes, scope. Scope of projects is...
Scope will keep creeping, that's definitely for sure.
Yeah, especially with the two of us, we kind of goad each other along on that. So when it's absolutely gone way too far, it's probably pretty close to done.
Yeah, it's best to probably lay out like a nice game design document and everything that you want to accomplish, and then just try to shoot for that goal. And if things change, they change here and there. But for the most part, it's done when you think that your product is ready for people to play.
And as far as the artwork, same question. How do you know when the artwork is right?
Response. Like, it's definitely response. Like, one of the characters we just implemented was, it was brand new. Like, I did the sprites in, like, a day, and Jeff did, like, the code in a day. And it's getting a really good, like, visceral response from people. A little bit of, like, a fright reaction, but a little bit of embracing the concept. So as soon as, like, we see our players getting the emotional response from the art that we want, like, taking away that feeling, that's it. You nailed it. It's spot on.
Okay. So speaking of that, how often have you shown it to the public to test it out? And, you know?
It's brand new. This is its first major stepping out. We've done, like, some smaller events, but this is its first big show.
Okay. What inspires each of you in general?
Well, I've been making games for quite a long time. I guess the biggest thing that inspires me is just seeing people play the game and both and making it too. It's nice to feel like you accomplished something. It's really cool. Like, the games, it's like instant gratification. So it's great.
Okay. And as far as, and include art and game design, what inspires you?
Art and game design? Art for me, like, just, like, raw art form, like, just doing illustration and stuff like that. It's about creating a space. Like, there are a lot of concept artists that I really enjoy and things like that that sort of, like, drove me to, like, really create that, like, the unspoken dialogue. You have a flat piece of imagery that you're showing someone and you're trying to have them share and understand a lot. So when you get to, like, share and understand all that without saying a word, it's just a really beautiful act. And, like, then games are the next step up. You see it in motion. You see it behaving. You see... Like, Jeff spends all this time making these beautiful AI behaviors that describe something that never existed before. And we get to have this really cool unspoken dialogue with the player. So that totally keeps me going. I'm like, every time we do a piece of art or do an animation or a piece of background, I'm like, oh my God, when the player sees this, it's going to be this really great thing for them. Yeah. And so that keeps me super pumped up and, yeah, keeps the coffee going for getting the assets done at night.
Yeah, like, we have a spider, for instance. He's got one eye and skull for a head. When you shift the universes and you see him, he appears and chases after you, and the instant reaction people get is always just, oh my God, run away. And so, like, that's always great. Like, being able to communicate and connect with the player on that level.
Yeah. You're almost controlling their mind in a sense.
Yeah.
We're sharing it. Like, we want to have the same thing. Yeah. Like, I do not want to be ripped to giant mandible teeth spider skulls.
I'm glad they don't either. They don't just keep chasing it.
Seems to be a thing a lot of people agree on. Like, in general, being ripped apart by mandibles, not great.
Yeah, a negative, huh? All right. What is your most important designing tool? Is there something special you need in your workspace?
From the putting the game together aspect, we use a tool called Unity, And that allows us to bring our art assets, our C-sharp scripting assets, and even our music assets all together in one place where we can piece together our level and grow.
Yeah, Unity is critical. Like, it's the backbone of what we do. For illustration, I've just moved over to Clip Studio. It's just really nice and painterly, which gives the game the look that we wanted. Like, we wanted a really, like, bespoke, handmade feel. So I'm able to work with that, like, traditional media, but in a digital form. It does really, really great simulation. And the other essential tool is just caffeine, keep me in the chair, keep me working.
Advil.
Yeah, Advil. Lots of Advil.
So, is there an element of game design you enjoy working with most, and why?
I love level design. I think that's been pretty fun. I've gotten to work with some of the levels parallelly. It's great seeing people even finish the levels in ways you never even thought of them being able to do. It's always really cool to see people finding like new things that you didn't even think about. But it's definitely like one of the more time-consuming aspects, but it's also getting it right just feels really good.
Mine's definitely telegraphing. Like when we give little cues or little subtle animations, and the player picks up on it consciously or unconsciously, and they know what happens next. So telegraphing and designing those little features that are like tells and indicators and audio cues, like, and then the player gets it right away. Like, it's just this really cool like automatic thing for them, but like crafting it in such a way that they don't notice that it's been crafted for them specifically to have a really like specific response.
So as far as the art for the game, is there any element within that that you particularly enjoy?
Oh yeah, I like monster design. Like, every culture has its myths and monsters, and like the cool thing about being in like the age where information is so plentiful is I get to sort of like take broad swaths and like read huge chunks of information about them, and then see what, like, the next extrapolation of monsters is. Like, what's the next horrifying thing?
Yeah.
And, yeah, like, we have the one monster design is just a straight nod to Lewis Carroll and his brilliant work and, like, warnings about, like, living within yourself and stuff. And we got to make it a manifest horror, and it was really cool. Like, so, yeah, monster design. I like big gnashing teeth.
So I'm going to see a lot of your ideas in the game, your next level monster?
Yeah, like, I like our monsters to be a little innovative. Like, I don't want anything stock off the shelf. Like, I want new monsters where you know it's from this particular world. Yeah, so that's creating that, like, the new horror is perfect for me.
Good. Let's see, how did you start making games, and why do you make games? And you've touched on that, but maybe elaborate.
So I started making games when I was a little kid doing mods for another game, Warcraft 3. I just messing with their little editor system, and you can make, you know, custom mods and play around with that. That's obviously, you know, basic scripting. And from there, I just started becoming more of a programmer, and I played a lot of games, so I figured put the two together.
I started out, like, really young. Like, my dad brought home an arcade cabinet for me to repair, and I thought it was magical, and I found out that, like, there were a couple games that I've really enjoyed that were made by single people, like Warren Robinette. He did Adventure, and like he's the proto-generate of the Easter eggs in video games. Like, he wanted to take credit for his work and did, and had his name hidden in an Atari game. All that, it was always like just really amazing to me, and the whole small teams thing has become much more real now. So I've been making games as long as I've been able to. Like, I started with BASIC when I was a kid, and then jumped over to Flash for a while when I was like a teenager, and then just kind of kept looping around until now we're going to like more full-fledged projects.
Okay. So would you say, were you more into art at first or game design? Which came first?
Yeah, they did. But at the same time, I don't think that it was like I just wanted to be in that world, and I've always loved illustration. I actually worked in college as a tattoo artist, and like that's how I got like a lot of my skills. I'd love to say college taught me, but no, nothing teaches like a tattoo shop.
Okay.
You have to get it right the first time, or someone will kill you. Yeah, like it's always been simultaneous. Like, I think they're the same thing.
So what's the coolest or strangest or hardest tattoo you had to?
Oh, those are very different questions. Hardest is portraiture, particularly like leftover portraits from like the 1940s. because just that soft shading is really hard to replicate and elicit the same sort of feeling without losing detail in a tattoo, because you can overwork the skin. Weirdest? I don't know if we want to go into that.
How about the coolest? Like the one that you're like, wow, I love this piece that I made.
Oh, someone had me do like a really, really high realism clockwork owl, and I enjoyed every minute of it because it had like that repetitive rhythm of all the clockwork, but all this big, beautiful gray wash shading. So it was just fun to be in that design environment for a long time because it was an 18-hour tattoo.
Okay.
And it could have been 2 minutes for all I know. Like I was completely in it. I loved it.
Oh wow. Lots of caffeine for that one or no?
Nah, shaky hands with caffeine on that. I can't for the machine. Yeah.
Good. How did your first sale or big gaming success, however you might define it, change the way you design games?
We'll let you know when we have financial success.
Yeah, so I guess from a client standpoint, it kind of changes the way you think about the industry. I made a good bit of mobile games for clients that some have done okay, some haven't really done much, but then I've also worked on educational games, and I think that was a good experience.
Yeah, that was good. Like, you learn a lot of very different design environment, like, because your end goal isn't just fun. Like, you really have to convey hard fact knowledge in a way that kids are going to really digest well. So, like, yeah, those have been financially good for us, but that helps subsidize our other projects.
Yeah, just go straight back into the projects we want to work with.
Yeah.
So, apart from financial success, did either of you have, like, moments as you were developing as designers where you're like, wow, this is really feasible, I can do this, or was it just like, yes, I'm going to do it? From the start, you were like, no doubts.
I've never believed it wasn't feasible. That's the thing about games. It's the universal medium. You can do whatever you want as long as you're willing to dedicate and focus, and you can make whatever. Like, we live in a very open-ended world for ourselves now.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. It's kind of do whatever you want. We both do have other full-time jobs that we work on, but we still have, you know, our goals and dreams.
Yeah.
Doing the game about it all the time.
Yeah. And like in terms of like success moments, like Jeff and I do game jams, which is a short format competitive game development thing, where you have 48 hours to make a game or like a set block of time, and just that pressure and that crunch and working with Jeff has been really great. So we've had some moments where it was like you're constantly saving yourself from pure disaster in those moments. So those are really rewarding design experiences.
Okay.
Yeah, game jams are a great experience.
Yeah. Like that was some of the first stuff we did together was like game jam stuff. And we went way over scope and actually succeeded in making it, and it was great. It was a lot of fun.
It's a lot of time crushing in game development. That is definitely for sure.
So is that competition, everyone competes from their own workspace, like it's kind of virtually connected?
Some are lock-ins where you're in a fixed space. Others are you go home and you come back in 48 hours with your game. So it depends on the format. Like some are web-based. Just there's all different formats of game jams. They aren't like really that formal.
All right. What role do games or the game designer have in society?
That's a great question. The game designer, you have the bard's role. You tell the story. You create the moment. And they're even like not even necessarily narrative stories, but like just an idea, a concept. Like your whole job is to take something that you thought was significant and give it to a player in an interactive way and let them not just read about it or see it, but experience it. And so I think we have the bard's role. Like, we are here to share experiences, knowledge, and feelings with everyone.
Yeah, making people go, wow. It's kind of, and, you know, like seeing them play around, you know, you mentioned monsters, and the stuff he makes, and seeing them play with those toys, and those crazy creatures that we create in this, like, environment. It's a pretty neat experience. I think that's definitely something that games do.
Do you feel, for you, is it more education or entertainment, or are you sharing something about yourself, or it's just like have fun?
I think it's all about having fun, and there's some educational aspects there for sure. But for the most part, just enjoy. You know, it's just like going to see a movie or something.
Yeah, I think games have as much breadth as any other medium, like film, music, literature. Like, you can do anything you can do in those formats in games, but they experience it along with you dynamically instead of just, it's not a one-way street. They have to be able to interact.
Right. What movies, books, games, or other creative media in science fiction or fantasy have inspired you?
I'm a huge Lovecraft fan. All of his stuff, that whole unknown horror definitely comes into play, particularly in Parallel. But the film side of it, anything that Guillermo del Toro has done, he's one of the best monster designers ever born. Like, that guy's imagination is, it's got to be powered by lightning or something. I don't know. He's phenomenal. But Tim Burton plays a nod, and actually a lot of old illustrations from like a bunch of like just different folklore legends. I draw a lot from those.
Yeah, as far as game design is concerned, a lot of the older games that I used to play, I work on a platformer now, so I try to go back and think when the older games did it right, that they got the people in the games to begin with. So taking some nods from things like even Mario or Donkey Kong, like the old platformers, and seeing how they handle their level design and how we apply that to our games is definitely where I get a lot of my inspiration.
Is there a game you want to create and haven't done so yet, and what is it?
Thousands. Man, like, if we could be full-time, like, when we get to that sort of vista, oh boy, are there so many games in the pipeline. Like, I've got a big crazy person book full of things that are not made yet. And Jeff's definitely got, like, some RTS that he wants to do. And
we definitely have a lot of projects. A lot of projects we started and just never finished. We just move on to the next.
Yeah, infinite games. Like, if
I would say there's no limit.
Yeah, not one, thousands.
What's, you said RTS?
Real-time strategy.
Oh, okay.
Jeff's background, like, he came from modding Warcraft 3, which is, like, a lot of, like, RTS stuff. And he wants to, like, sort of get, I know that, like, design eventually, he wants to, yeah, contribute back to the real-time strategy world that, you know, brought him into games.
Have you done much table, you know, like tabletop board games or role-playing games?
I mean, physical or virtual?
Physical.
Oh, sure, there's a
board game. I mean, I play them, but like, and it's a great place to draw inspiration from. But like, in terms of creating them, the digital medium is just way too appealing for me. Like, to have time to go out into the pen and paper world. Like,
actually, you take that back. I used to make them all the time as a little kid before I knew how to program. So, but lately, now that I have, you know, I open up Unity, it's a blank canvas for me to do whatever. Like, it's really no need. I can remake, you know, any board game.
Yeah, and also like the CCG stuff, the collectible card games and stuff like that. Like Hearthstone and stuff has found its home digital. Like, that's a great card game, but you've never physically owned the cards. Like, it's way easier to clean up too. Just close the window.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I'm just curious about the division between, you know, you have your tabletop gamers and then you have video games, and it seems like there's a pretty clear split.
You know, it's getting like blurrier every day, man. The world is way too open for those divisions to survive, and the board game guys are coming over, and either way.
You're also seeing things with augmented reality where they're combining. So I've seen games where you play with cards, but you wear like a virtual reality headset, and the monsters appear on the cards like you're playing a game. So the morphing of these two is kind of really where we're at.
It's interesting. I haven't seen, have any games like that come out, or people just...
I'm not sure if they've been released, but I'm just going to events and seeing them. I've had a chance to play a few.
Okay.
Yeah. Even, like, you can run some AR stuff on a phone, like the augmented reality stuff, and I've seen people experimenting. And I think it's mostly experimental, but it's only a matter of time before we see a big, beautiful commercial release for a cool product.
Yeah. So, that's all the questions I have. Do you guys have any final thoughts or comments?
Yeah. Yeah, actually, yeah, people, like, do people comment under your, like, your posts?
Not yet, but it's new.
Because, like, when you start your comment sections, I want to know what everyone of your listeners' best monster, the monster that just, in literature, film, or other than that, just, where was the real horror? Like, because, like, I'd love to hear, like, a broad palette of other people's experience of horror and what about it got them.
Yeah.
So, yeah, my question will go out to your listeners. Like, what's really scary?
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I would just say follow us on, you know, social media, and stay in touch with Parallel itself. I'll be have a website and things that you can check out. So if you're into horror or sci-fi or anything like that, we definitely have a lot of horror in the game. So.
What's the website again?
PARALILY.com. Paralily.
Yeah. Paralily game. Yeah.
Wow.
Take two.
Oh, all right.
Yeah. Parallelygame.com. And also, we're on like all the social media formats. You can find them through the website. And we love feedback. Like, so we want to hear from people about what we're doing because we only have two sets of eyes. So other people's point of view is really great to have.
Okay, cool. All right. Well, thank you.
Cool.
All right, yeah, thank you.
Thanks.
Please visit ChrisAlvarez.com for more cool stuff. That's CRISALVAREZ.com. Thanks for listening and keep imagining the future.